Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. Let's get into it. Today's show is sponsored by GPS Track It. GPS Track It makes managing your driver, vehicles, and equipment assets simple with the latest technology and personalized, friendly customer support for service businesses of all sizes. With GPS Track It, you get a real-time view of where your fleet vehicles are 24/7, improve route density, and operate more efficiently overall. With more than 12,000 customers, GPS Track It has been delivering peace of mind for customers in lawn and landscaping across the country for 20 years. Are you ready to protect your fleet, save money, and cut down on fuel costs? If so, call 844-394-9244 to speak with a knowledgeable fleet advisor. No pressure, no hassles, low monthly fees, and no contracts. You can also visit gpstrackit.com/lawncareleaders. Click the link in the show notes now to see how GPS Track It can help manage your drivers, vehicles, and equipment assets. We get some guys that do design build and larger product projects, but not a bunch. So I would just like to hear like how you're thinking about growing that. Give us some numbers on like how much of your revenue comes from that. How are you trying to tackle some of these projects? What are some of the pain points logistically? Just open up a little bit about your design build. I'd like just humble brag a little bit about some of your larger projects and share with some of these guys. Cause I know a lot of them are wanting to get into it. It's appealing. And I just want to have them hear from somebody that's doing it well. It happened, Sam. I warned you.
Yeah, it did.
Did you hear anything I just said?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I heard your wife and your kid was singing.
I knew it was going to happen. I have my hand on the Bluetooth thing, and then I got to rambling and stopped. Oh, wow. That sucks. Okay, so I want our listeners to hear from somebody. I'm going to paraphrase because that was a long time. I want our listeners to hear from somebody who is doing design build well. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of them are interested in it. So talk about just like how you're attacking growth on the design build side. What is it as an overall percentage of your revenue? Like, are you going to phase out maintenance? Are you keeping that? What are some of the pain points with your team logistically? And talk about some of the larger projects and how you're going to keep that snowball rolling, right? Because you land a $100,000 landscape project. That's great. How am I going to keep this going if that's going to be my business? So just talk through that and share some of your insights there.
Yeah. Design and build, I was actually just pulling up our financials because I wanted to see. So design and build looks like 74% of total revenue. I think it'll actually end up being higher than that. But that's what it's projected at, which I still think is a little bit conservative.
That's pure design build, no landscape maintenance.
That would not be any maintenance, though. That's design and build. Maintenance work goes under kind of mowing annual service agreement revenue because we don't do any just kind of shrub trimming.
And what is that as a percentage of overall revenue?
What's that, mowing and annual service?
Yeah.
Annual service agreement contracts are roughly 4%, and mowing will end up coming in about 10%.
Yep.
Maybe a touch higher even.
Yep.
So right in there. But our how to get in design build. Start with your parents, start with your house, see if your parents will pay for the materials or cut them a deal. Get some pictures and get to work. That's the easiest way I can say it. We did our first paver patio in 2019 and did it in 2019. I think we did two that year, actually. One of them, we got pretty lucky, started with a pretty darn, I think it was like a $35,000 job that a neighboring landscape company had quoted that they were wanting to go with us. And I told them I had, you know, skilled guys who had 3 to 4 years of experience. I didn't know Jack, but we had dedicated guys who would be there to see the project through and make sure it's good. And that had a pergola on it, had, you know, some steps coming out of the house. Like, just, it was an excellent, excellent first project.
Very cool.
And last year, did a pool job that we definitely underbid perhaps a little bit, but wanted to showcase the fact that we were capable of doing that sort of stuff. Put in artificial turf, put in a putting green, big, you know, I think it was like 1,200 square feet of pavers, which was huge for us. And I think we did maybe 8 or 10 patios, maybe 12 last year, and continued to grow. And then, you know, this year we're doing all sorts of patios. We're getting into doing, you know, pavilions and grill islands and the backyard that we designed it all. And so I designed it all. And between all of the different aspects of it, with the pool house, 9-hole putting green course, 5,000 square feet of pavers, it's going to be somewhere in the ballpark of 1.2 to 1.5 million on the backyard. And we're hopefully going to be starting that. I think on my last podcast when I had COVID, I think we were hoping to start that one soon. And just now, pool guy's running some snags, but soon we'll be on that job and be able to get that one under our belt. And from there, you know, it's all networking. We've got several builders in the area who are higher end custom builders who are aware of what we're doing. I've reached out on anybody in my inner circle who would know somebody in those inner circles and said, hey, we're doing this. Let me send you a copy of the designs. This is what we can do for your clients. I'll follow up with you when we're done, and I'll have you out there so I can walk you through it and I can show you how we can make your homes even better.
Yeah.
And really leveraging the projects you've landed to land the bigger jobs and to continue that kind of cycle. Now, you know, we don't live in a market like Detroit areas. The suburbs up there, I know people spend 7 figures on their backyard quite often, it looks like, or at least $500,000, it seems like. But, you know, this job here, there's probably one of these a year, if that. We don't have a market that does this. So this is a huge, huge opportunity for us to grow. The biggest thing I've seen is, one, get well educated on it yourself. As an owner, I have never been on a patio that we've installed from start to finish. I don't know if I'm proud of that or if that's a bad thing, but we've got a team that is capable. They're better craftsmen than I are. I am. I'm fully aware of that, and I admit that to the homeowners. My job is design and sell.
Yeah.
And so I've been really trying to read, listen to a lot of audiobooks on the art of selling. One of the meetings I had just yesterday, a guy asked, talking about putting a pool in, and I was like, well, we can get that design for you. This is, you know, this is our design agreement. This design will cost, you know, somewhere between $500,000 for the design. And then he said, he's like, oh, you know, I don't think we're going to do the pool till next year. I kind of, you know, I want to save up for it. And I said, well, money's the issue. Money's cheap right now. I can find you the money. That's not an issue. And not, you know, pushing him, but making sure that he's aware of all the options. Because if I haven't given him all the options on how to get this financed or whatnot, I'm failing him, I think. So, yeah, back to how to grow into it, I guess. So,
before you dive into how to grow into it, I do want to brag on you a little bit about that and then also highlight something for our listeners. Sam is he is very good at sales. He's a people person, and like, that is his specialty. He's great at designing, but he also is just a sales killer. So I would just say, one forewarning, if you are going to get into the design build side, at least, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but I would say, like, if you prefer to be the technician on the job and you just enjoy that craft, that's great. But I don't know that I would put that as, you know, your growth pattern for the company, because I think you're going to have trouble scaling if you just purely love only doing the design or only doing the installation process, part of what has made you scale so quickly and what is putting you on a track to double or triple next year is the fact that you're able to make key relationships, add value, close the sale, set logistics in place, and then you're done. Like, that's a win. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to the next one. So just make sure that you're self-aware. It's not good or bad either way. Just make sure that you as an owner are self-aware that if that's not you, it's probably going to be pretty hard to grow, design, build, because you have to repeat the sales process. That fat $100,000 profit is nice, but you're only as good as your last ride. So you got to go out and do it again. So just make sure you keep that in mind. Sam is, he's out there killing it. And when we talk about increasing revenue, it's very frequent that he'll be like, oh no, I have no doubt that if I go pound the pavement, I can close $80,000 worth of work in the next month. Not a problem. Let's do it. Or a week.
Exactly. We've done that a couple times this spring.
Yeah. So exactly to my point. So make sure you're self-aware. But yeah, cool. I just wanted to do a little disclaimer there, and you can carry on with
it. It is definitely, and that's where like a landscape company, if somebody wants to sell their business, something, landscape company is never going to sell as much as a commercial maintenance company with 500 contracts, because you have to continually sell. Like, I have one repeat client that we did. It was actually my first ever project for him. It was 2018. We did a $10,000 landscape renovation for him. I was crap my pants sending him that number. But he ended up moving. Now I have a pool, wants to rip out the pool deck, put in pavers. But otherwise, there's no repeat business. And it's a little bit scary at times, like in a down economy. I think it's going to be tougher, but at the same time, margins might have to get a little bit tighter, and you might have to get a little bit more creative with some things, but I think it's still good. And it kind of, if you're not good at sales, it's not the end of the world. You can hire somebody to do that. Like, same thing. I'm not the best person in the office because I'm doing 500 other things. So I hired somebody who's good at it.
Yeah.
And I think, people get confused that landscape is these huge ticket items, which it is. And, you could do 30, you could probably even do 40% margin on these jobs. But at the same time, you could go do, 100 fertilizer clients, still do 30, 40% margin, make the same amount of money in the bottom line. Yeah, you don't look as cool on Instagram, take pictures of your turf go sitting on the grass, but that business to me has quite a bit less stress than the one that's working on big landscape jobs with skid loaders and all these trucks and this and that. So I don't think it's I know there's a guy who released a YouTube video saying mowing is for stupid people, but at the same time, I don't think it, maybe mowing, like fertilizer though. Now I'm stupid then because we mow, I guess. But,
it doesn't make any profit, but we can't say it's completely stupid because it's how all of us got into the business.
So. Correct. And so to your point though, I just don't want people to get confused that these big ticket items, I don't care what the top line brings. If the bottom line's not bringing me anything, then I don't want to do it. So with the exception of mowing as a loss leader, because it gets you into the irrigation and the enhancements and the fertilizer. But to scale, is that what we were talking about? I totally lost our train of thought.
I don't know what we're talking about. No, it's good either way, man.
But selling it's totally a people thing. Like, I just went over to a stone supplier for masonry. We don't do any masonry, but I happen to know the owner there pretty darn well. And he's really tight with a lot of builders. And actually, 4th of July, went over to his place and me and a couple other home builders and some other guys were hanging out. We actually played skee ball after fireworks from 10 o'clock to 2:30 in the morning. just six grown adults playing two-man team skee ball. But it was an opportunity for me to build the know, like, and trust factor that they are going to be more likely to refer me now when somebody wants a custom backyard. So any opportunity to build that circle of growth for especially design build, but I just had a meeting with one of the guys from one of the teams this morning for 14 unit HOA, just mow, snow, fertilizer, nothing crazy. But again, it's opening up the doors and the opportunities to grow. You know, you kind of at times, and I never put on a fake face, but sometimes you might have to drink an extra coffee or a Bang Energy, which is terrible for you, but get a little energy in you and have a little enthusiasm and sell. You know, it's not as easy as just, you know, selling the $45 a week transaction, but it is very, very lucrative. The biggest things, I'll touch on growth and kind of what I see as the best way to grow in it. So first and foremost, don't go out and buy a bunch of equipment. I know people want to have the skid loader because it's cool. We've got a pair of them and they're great, but when they're not on a job site, they're costing you money. You can rent everything. That's what we did to start. So first thing, learn. Go talk to a supplier. We've got Cleaner Image here in town. Andy is the owner over there, and I talk to him on the phone daily. Same with the rep from TechoBlock, Sebastian out of Kansas City. Great guy. Talk with him quite a bit on different things he's seeing. You know, how would you do this? How would you do that? And either, if either of them don't know the answer, they find somebody who does. So first and foremost, learn. And then when you have the opportunity to start marketing this stuff, meet with your clients, show them that you are knowledgeable, and learn how to sell. You know, selling of, you know, presenting things and just talking about it is not selling. You really need to, and it's one of the most painful things that I do every single time. And I'll actually count down 3, 2, 1. And are you ready to sign? Are we going to do this? And ask for the sale. And get your project signed. So start small, learn, and then start teaching yourself how to sell. Because selling is not easy. It doesn't come natural to a lot of people. It doesn't come natural to me. I am a people person, and I guess by way, that's a little bit of selling. But asking for the sale, knowing how to, you know, agree, and then redirect the conversation when objections come up, that's a learned art. And so it takes a little bit of verbal judo. You know, you gotta learn this stuff, read a lot of books, and be able to do it.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. I think you hit the nail on the head. I do think that having a natural tendency to talk to people, when you look at a sales guy, and not a salesy car salesman guy, but when you look at a guy that is truly good at selling stuff, he's good at what he does. He always, like, he may leave one job and get another one, or he gets bought out and he already had, like, so I'm thinking of guys like, my father-in-law is really good at this. They just have a natural ability to connect with other people. They're always networking without even knowing it. They're always meeting people. They're always adding value. They're always helping. And so, one, that's attractive. You attract people to you when you're that type of person. Yep. And then from there, it's just purely adding value. I do like what you said. People that are not good at sales usually don't really ask for the sale. And if you never ask for the sale, if you never ask the girl to dance, well, you never know if she was going to dance with you or not. And then you get an objection, then you just kind of overcome it, or you move on to the next one, right?
But if you don't ask, I promise the answer is no.
Yes. Yeah. You miss every shot you don't take, right? Everybody's favorite quote right now.
Old Wayne Gretzky.
Old Wayne Gretzky, man. The hockey quote. The ability to connect, have the balls to ask for the sale, are huge. Everything after that can be learned. And then you also get, you got to be patient. You get better at it with time. You know, your first landscape job you sold, I'm sure it was just like clunky. It was rough. Like the more you do, the more confidence you build up, and you're just able to just rattle off anything and everything.
Absolutely. Like the first, I remember, you know, $2,500 job I sold, first one. I was absolutely tickled. I was so excited. I was, you know, I told my mom, she was so proud, good little boy. And now, like, not that I don't get excited over a $15,000 patio, but I present those, you know, 2, 3, 4 of them a week.
Yep.
They're not that big of a deal.
Yep.
And so your comfort with anything, you know, you do your first ever fertilizer application. You're learning. It's excited. It's exciting. It's new. You will grow significantly as a salesperson as you do it more. And it's not like you said. Don't be the the used car salesman, the used insurance salesman. Nobody wants that guy. Be a real person who can provide value and sell the benefits. You know, I'm not selling a patio. I'm selling a place that memories are made. There's a big difference. You're not selling fertilizer applications. You're selling a green weed-free lawn. There's a big difference when you sell. And again, just read books. Like there's so, and YouTube videos, there's so much free information out there that people don't take advantage of and then wonder why they're left in the dust.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Listen to guys like Britt on the Lawn Care Leaders podcast.
Like, thank you for that, man. Thank you. slip you a hundy. Yeah. This can go back to your competitive advantage, guys. You got to lean into this stuff, especially sales. I think the one thing is, I think about some of the guys that may be at this pivotal moment where they've got three other people, they're trying to grow their company, and maybe they are scared to get out and sell, or they're scared to get in design build for the first time. You know, what's the end result you're craving? If it's business growth and that's it, you need to be you need to crave that result so much that whatever gets in your way, you're willing to do whatever to attain it. So if sales is part of that, do it. If it's hiring, if it's over hiring, if it's doing something that you don't want to, if it's going backwards temporarily, all of those things you have to be willing to do at some point or another. And like, it almost sounds like this, Sam, is like the going back to the reiterating yourself as a business owner. If you're not willing to do whatever it takes to go backwards temporarily, to sacrifice now for the long-term benefit, you're not going to have a competitive advantage. Like, people are going to beat you. And so you either have to be okay being comfortable and losing occasionally and sometimes frequently, or you have to get used to the chaos, get used to the stress, get used to being uncomfortable and knowing that you're going for a certain end result that most people will never attain.
If I can, you're two quotes. One, hockey coach when I was in high school, when I lived in Denver with a host family, hockey coach said, if you want something in your life to change, you must first change something in your life. And it's a really simple quote, but if you stop and think about it and it's like, oh dang, like, you know, if I don't want to be skinny fat like I am, then I need to go to the gym. And I need to wake up an hour earlier. Like, simple things with business, with anything. And then the other one is actually a Grant Cardone quote that I'm listening to one of his books right now. But if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah.
And that does not have to be your top line, your bottom line growing.
What are you listening to? Be Obsessed or Be Average?
Right now, Sell or Be Sold.
Okay. Yep.
Sales book. And that's kind of been my kick right now, is a lot of sales stuff.
Yep.
And I got the Audible. I think I have like 3 credits saved up, so I've been on a tear lately. But the if you're not growing, you're dying. Exactly what you said, that growing might be growing yourself and your business, not on the top line, but how you do what you do and what you do, that it might be a temporary step backwards.
Yep.
But, you know, 6 months, 6 years from now, that might be a huge leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I
couldn't agree more, Sam. A running joke around Green Again is like, a promotion looks strangely like starting over, because you do go backwards. And so we're having I'm calling it a leadership powwow for these new locations. We're meeting Thursday, Friday. The first thing that I'm going to open up with is saying, make no mistake about it. Everybody in here in this room is going to be going backwards for the next 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's the slingshot principle that we talk about. We are going backwards, putting forced tension on ourselves so that we can leapfrog forward, so that we can sling forward into the future. But like, make no mistake, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And you have to be willing to do that if you want to progress and move forward. And if you're not, you're just going to have a different type of problem. Like you're just going to have different type of headaches. So.
Yep. Yep. No, I completely agree with you. What are you listening to for books? That's one of my favorite questions.
I am listening to, let's see, Winning the War in Your Mind with Craig Groeschel.
Yep.
And then you said you've been on a tear. I'm listening to Winning with Tim Grover. And then I also finished his book Relentless with Tim Grover. He was the personal trainer for Michael Jordan and went on to become the trainer for Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, a couple other people. Really, really good. Really good stuff. Really good stuff.
That is, do you read or listen?
Both. It depends on the book. If it's more like storyline format, one other book that I highly recommend that I actually read was the Nike book. Shoot, what's the name of it? With Phil Knight.
I don't know that one.
Shoot, I'll send you a picture of it. Really good.
Just
but
it
was just do it. No, I can't remember the name of it. But it was more story format.
Yeah.
And dude, it was really good. And it was funny. I was reading it right at the time where it was everything in my life was in transition. And so it was kind of nice to hear all the chaos that they had to fight through and all the moving pieces. You're just like, oh, it's nice to not feel alone when you read something like that.
It's that, like, I don't know if you've read E-Myth.
Yep.
Great.
E-Myth. Great.
Really well, you're good. Talking technician, so I know you've read it.
Yeah.
That one, I think a lot of people should, you know, figure out a way to read that one because that one's good. How to Win Friends and Influence People. That one is so, I mean, the guy was, I think, friends with Abraham Lincoln is that old, but great, great book. Like, I just, and it's one thing that I can't ever hardly force myself to sit down and read, but once you do, it's like, man, I should do this more often.
Yeah, but it's one of those books too that you read it and there will be three things that just stick with you for the rest of your life. Like the couple ones that stick with me from that book are like using a person's name is the sweetest sound they can ever hear. So that, and then what was the other one?
The get people talking about themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Use that a lot. But it's just like, there's just so many, it's almost like little proverbs that you can live by with that book.
Yes.
It's so
good. Yeah. No, that's a good one. No, and two, I want to make sure that any of your listeners, if I know everybody does this at the end of podcasts, but if anybody design build questions, at Ankeny Lawn, ANKENYLAWN, find us on Instagram. I'm on there way too much. Our guys give me a hard time when I post stories all day, every day, but, I love connecting with other people and, as we talked about on this podcast, it's not competition at all. I don't care if I teach everybody all of our secrets, I'm still going to do them better, but reach out. I will answer everything or I will find you the answer. If I don't know it, I'll connect you with the right people. If it's something that we need to find out. But seriously, I know Britt, you responded to my questions when I was DMing you before I even knew you. Absolutely great resource, but I'm happy to help and love to see people doing new things, doing cooler stuff.
Money. Oh yeah, no doubt. Yeah, definitely.
We're not 501c3s.
No, we're not. No, we're
some
not.
Days it feels like it. Some days it feels like it, but at the end of the day, we're here to make money and produce profit so we can have a little margin in our lives and be able to support the family and the hobbies we enjoy.
We're just trying to win, Sam. Let's be honest. We're trying to create margin so that we can create more margin so that we can go win some more. Yeah, it's not a 501c, but it does feel like we're managing volunteers sometimes. Yeah, for real. Hit Sam up. It's really cool. I actually check in with him every couple of days on there. Just it is cool to see the projects that he's working on. And if you guys do want to be there one day and get into design build, good reference, good resource for you guys. So Sam, thanks for being on the podcast, brother. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Brett. We'll see you again sometime soon here.
Adios, bro. Take it easy.
See ya.